Based on those team on it, play on the team on it to see if one will be successful or not. Based on that which Your Highness did over here, and he made a simon, if when the Pelishtim see us, they say, Alu Eleinu, come up to us, that will be a sign that Hashem has placed them in our hands and will be Matzliach. If on the other hand they say, wait for us and we'll go down there, then it's a sign that we better stay in our place and not go after them. We said there's a big machloikus of Rishonim based on Gemaras, there's a Rambam, there's a Ravid. Is a person allowed to make simanim for himself? And why was it mutter for Your Highness to do? We said a few reasons. If either Ravid cheated, it's mutter any time to make simanim on your own. The only iser is only if you use simanim of the Goyim, that's the only iser. The superstitions of the Goyim. But for one to make simanim for himself, that's perfectly fine. If it's a seichel dikke kind of a simon, then it's zikr good. And over here it was something which is based on seichel, because if they say, Alu Eleinu, you come up to us, that's a sign of a little bit of being afraid and a little bit of laziness, and that's a sign that we could be menaseach over them. And it was a simon b'derech ha-teva. There are some times that life offers us simonim. In life, they send us signals, min ha-shamayim, and if we're awake enough to be able to see those signals, then we could be matzliach. For example, the Chofetz Chaim used to say this. The Chofetz Chaim used to say, sometimes when a shamayim in life, they send us simonim of how we should act. You have to be awake to the simonim, and a lot of times you have to ask a shaila if min ha-shamayim they're telling us something or not. Chofetz Chaim used to say over that Rav Chaim Volozhiner, when he was a younger man, he was already more than a younger man, he was already an established goyim, and he was a paisik. People used to come to him with shailas. But to support himself, every now and then he used to go out to the county fair where he used to be a money changer, and he also used to be a shatchan, used to make shidduchim between two businessmen, and that supported him on a minimal level. And not many people knew about this. In Volozhin, he was a paisik, and he used to go out here, you know, for a week at a time, sometimes 2 weeks at a time. And one time he's there, and a person from Volozhin is there and sees him there. He says, Rav Chaim, what are you doing here? You know, to him, Rav Chaim was a paisik. He used to ask Rav Chaim all the shverish shailas, like, what's he doing here doing business? So he says, I come here sometimes. I'm a money changer, and I'm also a middleman. So he looks at Rav Chaim, a money changer? A middleman? Like, to him, it was a pellet. To him, Rav Chaim was like this great paisik, like a money changer, a middleman. He says, no, you should be matzliach. And he walks away. So Chaim starts thinking to himself, he says, maybe this was a signal min ha-shamayim. I'm talking middleman. Maybe I should be a middleman in a different daifin. I should be a middleman between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his children down here. And it was at that moment that he was machlit to build the yeshiva, and the rest is history. The Volozhiner yeshiva was the mother of all Litvishi yeshivas, and Rav Chaim took that as a simon min ha-shamayim, that perhaps he should be a middleman in a different daifin. But again, you have to be Reb Chaim to be able to take that siman. Chofetz Chaim said over another ma'aseh with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was once in Grodno. And in Grodno he meets someone that he knew from Vilna as a makuriv to the Vilna Gaon. And the fellow tells him, Reb Chaim, I have to ask you a shaila. I was contacted by the government to come here to Grodno. He's a contractor and he had a big job that the government wanted him to do. He says, I came here once before a few weeks ago. They wanted me to meet them in Grodno. And a lady comes to me when I'm here, and she asks me for an adava. She's marrying off a daughter. So I took out 50 coin, or 50 whatever the unit was, and I gave it. It was a nice adava. She doesn't want. She wants more. So I took out 100, I gave her. No, she wants me to pay for the whole chasana. Pay for the whole chasana? So we left, and I didn't do anything. I didn't give her anything. It turned out that the deal with the government fell through. And then they call me again now to come to Grodno. They want to reawaken it again. You know. And again this lady comes to me, and she wants nothing less than for me to pay for the whole chasana. What am I supposed to do? Like, why in the world does she think I should pay for the whole chasana? Make it tasty. So Chaim Volozhiner tells him, he says, you know, I know you're a person that likes to hear a Dvar Torah.
says, the Navi Shmuel, if you remember, we learned in the very beginning, when Shaul lost his donkeys, he went with his nar, they went looking all over for the donkeys. And then they said, let us go to the Raya. The Raya was the Navi in that time. That's what they used to call the Navi. And he'll tell us, Esaderech asher halachnu aleha. He'll tell us the way that we went on. So stop to the kasha. You want to know where to go, where to find the donkeys. Why did he say Veloshen Avar? Elamai, you see from over here, a lot of times a person, he might have done something wrong, and there might be a Siba. Why men Hashemayim, they guided him to come here? And he doesn't know the reason why. Let's go to the Navi, and let's find out, why did we make this whole trip throughout everything? Maybe there's a Siba, men Hashemayim, why we had to make this trip. And Kachavadah, the reason was to make Shaul the king. Right. But Haderach Asher Halachnu Aleha, let's find out, maybe there's a Siba why we came here. It's the same thing with Yerushalayim said. He says, if the government wanted to contract you to build things for them, they couldn't have contacted you in Vilna where you live. They had to call you all the way to Grodno. How am I? There was a Siba for you to come here to pay for this woman's chasana. And Taka, the first time that you didn't want to pay for it, the deal fell through. Maybe Menashe Mayim, they're sending you a simon. He paid for the whole chasana and he ended up, this time he was Matzliach, the deal went through, and Taka made a lot of money on it. But a lot of times you have to take a simon min hashamayim, the way they send it. The Chofetz Chaim himself, sometimes he took a simon one way, and sometimes he took a simon another way. So Yodua, when he was in the middle of writing the Mishnah Brura, a terrible tragedy befell him. His beloved son, Rav Avram, he was about 21 years old, he was also godless, and he was nifter. So the Chofetz Chaim said, I'm not sure if it was after the Levi, during the Shivi, gave a quap, and he said, Sotin, says, you think that you're going to stop me from doing what I have to do? I'm telling you right now that I'm not going to be stopped. And no matter what you do, I'm still going to go Vaita with what I have to do. And he went Vaita. In other words, he didn't take this as any simon min hashamayim of stopping what he was doing. Me'idr Gisa, later on in life, Chofetz Chaim wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And originally, the Gedolim protested Rav Chaim Oizu, which Rav Baruch Ber. They asked him, please, you can't leave us. He said already, I'm old already, you know, I'm not really doing anything for Klal Yisrael. So they told him that Kol Zman de Zayda sits by the table, the grandchildren behave themselves. And as once the Zayda leaves, that's when the grandchildren start acting up. Kol Zman de Chofetz Chaim is here in Europe, so it sets the whole standard for Klal Yisrael. So he listened to them, but then he made up, a little bit later on, he's going. And sure enough, the day that he was set to go, he didn't tell anybody about it in advance. He had all the preparations made. There was already a house built in Eretz Yisrael. And the day that he was about to leave, the Rebbetzin fell ill. The Chofetz Chaim took that as a simon min hashamayim, vayishtos min hashamayim, they don't want me to go. So again, you know, you have to know when to take those simon and when not. The key is that you have to ask a shaila from somebody older. You know, every time you have to ask a shaila from somebody older. If we don't ask a shaila from somebody older, then we're in trouble. Certain times they send a simanim. Is it a simon? Is it not a simon? We have to ask from somebody older. In next week's parasha, Parshas Vayeshev, this coming week, very big lesson about asking people that are older than us how to act. The parasha is chock full of this limud. By Yosef HaTzadik, it says, V'hu nar es b'nei bilo es b'nei zilpa. V'hu nar, Zot Rashi, hoya oysa maysa nairus. Hoya mesalsal besaroi, put his hair, made himself look nice. And we're talking about over here Yosef HaTzadik. We're not talking about someone that's just a little boy. Shlomo Volga says, Yosef HaTzadik was probably on a higher madrega than the Vilna Gaon. You know, he learned Torah with Yaakov Avinu. He taught him all of the Torah. He was on a very high madrega. And yet, the Torah says about him, Hoya Oysam Maisen Nairus. What's the pshat? The Svarim say that when Yosef made himself look nice, he had a cheshbon. Either he saw those dreams about him eventually being a melech, and Memele, he already was Noye Ginude Malchus in his youth, because that's what eventually he's going to be. Or Yeshayim, he felt that this is the way someone that's a servant of Hashem, he has to glorify himself, he has to make himself look nice, derech kavod, except he overdid it. He didn't ask Yaakov. From the Svarim, it's mashma that Yaakov Avinu was not happy with the way Yosef was naik. As a matter of fact, there's a wonderful Hasidic Shavart, Remeyel from Ashlan, says, Amari de Kizach. It says later on, by Yosef, when he was about to do the Aveira with Eishes Paitifar, the Medrash tells us that Niraloi Dmuz Diukoni Shal Yankiv Aviv. Pashta Pshat, and the Medrash is Pashta Pshat, that the face of Yaakov Avinu appeared to him, and he told them, you should know that a time is going to come when all your brothers are going to be on the Choshen in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're not going to be there if you already run the Aveira. That's the simple Pshat. And he held back from doing the Aveira. Remeirumi from Ishlan says, Amari Dikab Shat. He says like this. There was a machloikis between Yankiv and Yosef, how a person should be dressed. Yankiv went to Messiah with the Messiah of his fathers, how a yid has to get dressed, more b'derech hanove, more in a held back way. And Yosef was Mesalsal Besare. When he saw what this Mesalsal Besare led to, because it says, Vatitfiseu bibigdai, she was typhus him in his beautiful beged. That was the Goyim, because he looked nice. That was the Goyim doing the Aveira. Nirolay Dmus Diukani Shal Yaakov Avinu. Then he saw that the Dmus of Yaakov Avinu, that's not the Emesbik way to go, that he was mistaken, and the Messiah of Yaakov Avinu was Taka the proper way. But he didn't ask. The brothers, also, it's a Pella. How in the world were the brothers, how did they do what they did to sell? They wanted to kill him. And then they sold him. That was like a sort of like a Rachmanis. What's the pshat? So it's Yadua, the pshat of the Sephurna. Sephurna says that they convened the Bezdin and they paskin out the Halacha, Yosef is Chayiv Misa. Why? Because he was a Raidiv. He was trying to be Raidiv then. They Cheshbin. Avraham Avinu had a Yishmael who was cast aside. Yitzchak had an Esav that was cast aside. They were afraid that Yosef, what he was trying to do was to curry favor with Yaakov, that he would be the chosen son, and he would inherit the whole legacy of Yaakov Avinu. That's why he taught in the Torah of Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, and that they would be cast aside from the brachas of Olam Hazeh, and aside from the brachas of Olam Haba. They held that this was, he had the din of a Raidim, and Al Pidim, Yishchayev Misa. And later on, even when they have Karata, they didn't say, you know, we made a wrong psak. You know, Reuven told them, didn't I tell you should have Rachmanis? But on the Etzim Psak Halacha, Vayistos, they didn't have Karat. Where was their mistake? The Etzim Psak that you're convening a Bezdin on something that's negated to you. How does that possible? You should have asked somebody else. You should have asked Yaakov Avinu. You should have asked Yitzchak. You don't do things without asking. And the end result was, that we went down into Golus. And as Chazal say, many, many generations later, the Asura Haruge Malchus, they went to be Mechaper for the Chayt of the Shvatim. And where's the Mida Keneged Mida in that? There was plenty of Sinaschinim and Bayesheni as well. But one of the key Nekudas of Bayesheni was the Tzedakim went against the Chachamim. They didn't ask. They didn't go after the interpretations of the Chachamim. And they really were guilty of the same Aveira of the seeds that were planted earlier, not asking the previous generation. So there's a cloud. You use them or you lose them. If you don't use the Chachamim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them away from us. And that was the Asara Arugei Malchus were taken away because the Chachamim were not listened to in that generation. That's a lesson to be learned. And with Simonim, it's like that also. We have to ask. And as we don't, we're living in darkness. The Torah tells us, "Leisosu yomenu smoil kachol asher yeirucha." Afilu uaymer al yamin shuhu smoil, val smoil shuhu yamin. Why? We are living in darkness. We cannot really see the emes. We need the chachamim to guide us. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky said over a Amori d'Kemaisa when he was in Siberia. So he didn't stop in Siberia. Even in Siberia, he went around trying to be Marbitz Torah. And immediately he was in prison from a regular work camp. He was put into a prison cell with the worst criminals, murderers, you know, the worst, the lowest of society. And then he says, "Bedafka, they respected me," he said, because they saw I learned in the cell, I davened in the cell, I wouldn't eat what they ate. They respected me. They came to him for ages. They came to him for brachas. Comes Chanukah. He wants to be mekayim the mitzvah in Erev Chanukah. What's Tutman? He doesn't have any matches, he doesn't have any candles, doesn't have a menorah. What do you do? There was this little kerosene lamp hanging from the ceiling. which was on the minimum light to preserve kerosene. He figured, if I could raise the light and let more kerosene go in, I'll be makayim the mitzvah hadlaka. But they wouldn't let. He was afraid that the cellmates wouldn't let, because if you use up more kerosene, then the light will go out in the middle of the night. So he asked for permission. He said, can I ask for permission just for a half hour? If I could just turn the light on to be higher, I have a commandment in the Torah. Our religion commands us to yeah, sure. This big giant picks him up, he's a little man, picks him up on his shoulders, gets up, Baruch HaTorah Hashem, L'keinim El-Khosh, L'Hadim Neshul Chanuk. Then he makes a bracha shachianu. Then he's about to be Mekayim the mitzvah. Lo and behold, he turns it the wrong way. It becomes pitch black. Screaming. They're a dark light. They're banging on the walls. Mamish, you know, everyone's banging. 80 people, prisoners are banging on the wall. All of a sudden, the door opens up. The warden, the head warden with guards, they come in with their guns. They thought it was a rebellion. You know, with their lanterns, they come in. Who did that? They all point. They weren't interested. They liked him. They admired him. But they weren't interested in getting a punishment for him. He did. You know. So right away, the head warden says, you know, you were over on this takana, that takana, tampering with prison property. You're going into the coop. That was a place that was like this thin. He says that even Rav Yankov Galinsky, little me, he said, could not lay across it. He said, I have to sit there as though with my knees bent for 3 days. There's rats, there's mice all over, you know. This is what I was waiting for. So he says, 3 days in the coup. He was very quick thinking, you know, the Yiddish cup against the cup of Esav. He says, great, Givaldic, I'm so happy. He says, you're happy? What are you happy about? Now I can be Mekayim a mitzvah, commandment of my religion. What are you talking about? He says, yes, that's exactly what I wanted. He said, what kind of commandment? He says, at this time of the year, we have a commandment to sit in an enclosed place, all in prison, you know, where we're locked up. He said, what do you think? I'm crazy. I'm a communist atheist. I'm going to allow a Jew to be Mekayim his mitzvah? He says, nothing doing. You're staying right here. You know, and he storms out, lights the thing again. He storms out, slams the door, you know, and Yaakov was here. He says, afterwards he thought about it. He says, here I wanted to be Mekayim a mitzvah. I meant L'shem Shemayim, I meant good. So like, what happened? Why did this happen to me? The moral of the story is, if you don't know how to do something, you ask someone instructions. I should have asked someone how you turn the thing. I went on my own, you know, and I turned and said, I should have asked. And if you don't ask, you'll remain in the darkness. He says, and that's what Chanukah is all about. The mitzvah there, Chanukah, you know, Asher Kidshonu v'mitzvoyse v'tzivonu, l'hadlik ner Chanukah, Chazal say, v'heichon tzivonu, where's there a tzivu in the Torah? L'hadlik ner Chanukah, v'yisosu yom and ismoil, chalosha yerucha, do not deviate right or left from everything that they tell you. Chanukah is all about l'yisosu, roshalo v'yichu v'yagetcha, z'keinecha v'yayimruach. We don't know how to act. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. We're living in darkness and tremendous hester upon him. And Chanukah is all about listening to the Chachamim, a mitzvah derabbanan, how chashev it is. That's a lesson that we could learn. And when it comes to simanim in life, we are in the darkness unless we ask those that are greater than us, those that have a clearer vision than us. The Chachamim are called the Einei Ha'eda, the eyes of the Eda, because they're able to see things in a way that we're not able to see. There's another inyan in simanim, which we find, is the famous Geirul Hagra. The famous Geirul that was passed down, the Kabbalah from the Vilna Goyim, which Gedolim used in times of question, when they had a Shaila how to act, they used to make a Geirul Hagra. The mucker of that Geirul is not exactly known, but it's Yedua that the Gra gave it over to his Talmidim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Reisus and Bussalanta, the next generation, and so on. The Chafetz Chaim during World War I did not know what to do, you know. Europe was in a total turmoil. He wasn't sure what to do to keep the yeshiva in Raden, or should they go somewhere else. So he was in a mavuki. He didn't know what to do. And his family was urging him to make a Geirul Hagra. There's a certain way how to do it. You open it up, you turn a certain amount of pages, count a certain amount of psukim. There's a well-known way of how to do it. So Chafetz Chaim himself didn't do it, but his son-in-law, Tzvi Hirsch Levinson, Zeichetavi B'Kodesh Levrache, he made the Geiru. And it came out on this week's Parashim, Yove Esev, El HaMachna HaAchaz V'Hiko, V'Hoya HaMachna HaNishor L'Fleita. In other words, in a time of Tzorah, you split into two groups. So he came with the Esev, and some of that means that the yeshiva should be split in two, some should stay, and some should go. He wanted to run tell the Chofetz Chaim. Before he has a chance to run to the Chofetz Chaim comes to him. He says, it's a Yerush. It's a Pashta answer from the Torah. It says, Befeirish. Im Yovei Esav al-Machna achas v'hiko, v'hoi ha-Machna anisho l'pleita. The Torah tells us what to do. So he says, that's mamish. You know, I made a Goyul Hagra. That's mamish. He says, Tunu Schoi says to what the Chofetz Chaim told him. Either he said, okay, fine. You know, good, that's what the Torah says, that's good. And then Rav Tzvi Hirsch, he wanted to make another one just to make sure. He says, we're not matriach the Rabbi Shalom, once is good enough. And we're doing that in Kachava. They split the yeshiva. They split the yeshiva, some of them went towards Minsk, and others stayed in Radin. Another nusach was the Chofetz Chaim says, what do you have to make a Geirul Hagrah for? The purpose of the Torah is to teach us a way of life. Without any Geirulas, the psukim from themselves scream out to us exactly what to do. But again, you have to be a Chofetz Chaim to be able to do that. This inyan of Geirolos from Tanakh, the Birkei Yosef, the Chido, brings it down, and he says, Shaloi al zeh ne'emar ein shoylin b'Geirolos. The Gemara says you're not supposed to make lotteries or Geirolos, you know, to determine what to do in life. A Geirol that comes al pi Torah, the Torah itself, kihem chayenu, the Torah is our life, and mitoich the Torah, you can learn psukim, and the psukim can tell you exactly what to do. As a matter of fact, there's a Gemara in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara says over there as follows: Mishenignas ha'arayim, when the arayim was hidden, nignas ra'imayt senes haman, the flask of the man was taken with it, utzluchas shemen hamishcha, the bottle of the shemen hamishcha, the anointing oil, Umakwe Shawarin, a whole bunch of things that were together with the Aaron were hidden together with it. Umi Gonzai, who hid the Aaron with all of these things? Yeshio Gonzai. Uma Ra She Gonzai, what made him hide it? Ra She Kosar, it's written in the Torah, Yoylech Hashem Ayschav Es Malkicha, Hashem will take you and your Melech and he'll make you, he'll banish you to a foreign country. What happened? Yoshio took over the Malchus, and it was after Menashe HaMelech, who was Hichbis Tzalem Shebehecho, he caused tremendous devastation in Klal Yisrael, a tremendous spiritual devastation in Klal Yisrael. Yoshio got rid of all of the Avodah Zarahs, and he wanted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was in disrepair, it was towards the end of Bayis Rishon. It needed to make a lot of repairs, so he got money, and he had people try and rebuild it. And as they were taking apart the wall, they found the hidden Sefer Torah. Because Menashe HaMelech and others, they got rid of all of the Sefer Torah. So this was a Sefer Torah that was hidden within the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And when they opened it up, they saw it was open mamish to this pasuk. Yoylech Hashem Ayishchov Es Malkecha, he'll banish you to a different land. So Yeshio saw that it's close in coming, and someone's going to come and take over the Beis HaMikdash. So he decided to hide the Aaron and to hide all of these things together with it. But the Rishonim bring a Rai Beferish from over here. You know, that it's opened up to a certain pasuk, and based on that, he acted, Shema Mina, that this is something that one could be Seimachan. These are different simonim. We also find in Chazal, there was another simon that they used to use, and that is the Indian of Psoik Lif Sukecha. That when someone had a question of what to do, they used to ask a little child, tell me which pasuk did you learn today in Cheder? And the pasuk used to say that was a simon of things that would come. The Medrash tells us about Mordechai HaTzadik. When he first heard about the terrible Gzeira LaHashmid, LaHaraga LaAbed, he went over to three children. He said, Psoik Lipsukecha. One of them said, Al Tira Mipachad Pisaim, Umishoyas Risham Kisavai. Don't be afraid of sudden pachad. The next one said, Utu Eitzav Esufar. And the third one says, so from that Mordechai was happy. That such a thing could be used. As a matter of fact, famous Gemara in Masechtas Gittin, the Gemara says that Nirein Kesher, the general Nirein, when he came to be Machrev Yerushalayim, he was good and scared. He wasn't his wife, historically his wife, wanted to be Megayer, and he himself had questions of being Megayer. And when he was sent on a mission to destroy Yerushalayim, he was good and scared. So the Gemara tells us he shot up an arrow to Mizrach, and it landed in Yerushalayim. He wanted to make a simon if Min HaShemayim they want him to kill Yerushalayim. Shot a arrow to Meirv, and it ended up in Yerushalayim. To all four sides, they all ended up in Yerushalayim. And then he tried another simon. He asked the little child, Psykli Psukecha, tell me the pasuk that you learned. And the child told him, V'nosati es nikmasi be'edaim b'yad ami Yisrael, I will place my revenge against Edaim through the hands of my nation, Klal Yisrael. So Niron said, the Rabbi Yishlam wants to punish his nation, and he wants to wipe his hands on me, that I should be the culprit? Nothing doing. He ran away, and he was Megayer. Came a Ger. And from him came out the great Tanner Rav Meir about three generations later. Rav Meir was a great-great-grandson of this Niron Keser, who was Samech on this Pasuk from this child. So you see that in Yonim Min HaShemayim, you know, you're Samech on this Inyan. Nachum, one more thing with the Geirul Agro, also a famous story. The Tzaddik Rav Aryeh Levine, unfortunately, in 1948, there was a tragedy that 35 Israeli soldiers lost their lives in Hara Yehuda. And they were buried quickly, and they didn't know exactly, like sort of like a mass grave, and they didn't know who was who. So the families, they begged, please, they want to find out the identities of each one. By the time it was already Negea, you weren't able to discern who was who. So Tzvi Pesach Frank asked Reb Aryeh Levine, his brother-in-law, to make a Geirul Hagro. It was Negea, 15 really, 20 of them were identified, about 15 of them were not. So he very much tried to get out of it, but he insisted, please do it. He made a tainus, and that night, in the presence of his family and a couple of family members of the Niftarim, he made a Geirul Hagro, and one after the other, like 15, every single one of them, he was Mabar, which one it was. In the biography of Rav Aryeh Levine, a tzaddik in our time, it says the whole account. One mamish, it came out klar, this one's name, and this one's name, Ramazim to every single one of them. Now for Shteitzer, not everybody could make a Geirul Hagro. You have to be a big Baal Madrega, and you also have to know how to interpret. It's not such a double pashit. But these are all simonim that are clearly mutter al-Pidin, which Klal Yisrael used. Rav Aaron Kotler, it's Yadua, Rav Moshe Feinstein had for him papers, the proper papers for him to come here to America. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he made a Geirul Hagro, and it said, Lechel Moshe HaMidbara, you know, and Lechel Moshe HaMidbara, that was Midbar America, together with Rav Moshe Feinstein. And based on that, he ended up coming here. So these kinds of Geirulas that come out Pi Torah, out Pi Psukim, those clearly are mutter. We are holding in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayigolu Shneim, now that they heard the Simon Min HaShemayim, that they're going to be Matzliach, because they said, Alu Eleinu, come up to us. Vayigolu Shneim El Matzav Pelishtim. And they showed themselves to the garrison of the Pelishtim. Vayayimru Pelishtim, and the Pelishtim said, Hine Ivrim Yoitzim Min HaChayrim, behold, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes. Asher hiskabusham. Me'amloya says they said it derech b'zayin. Look at those Jews coming out of their holes. You know they said it derech b'zayin. Vayanu anshei hamatzava es yoinison ves noisei kelov. The people of the garrison said to yoinison and his armor bearer, Vayimru, alu eleinu, come up to us. V'noidia eschem dover. We have something to tell you. Vayomer Yonason el Noisei Kelov, Alei Acharai, come up after me, Ki Nisonim Hashem Biyad Yisrael. Hashem has placed them in the hand of Yisrael. The Mitzudas Taich says, Alu Eileinu V'Neidia Eschem Dover, come up here, we'll teach you a lesson, we'll teach you a thing or two. Again, they said it Derech B'Zayin. But it's interesting that in Pasuk Yud Beis it said, until now, it calls it Matzav Pelishtim, the garrison of Plishtim. Here, all of a sudden, the garrison is Taich Matzavo, Loshen Nekeva. So it could be that they were weakened. You know, they went from being a Matziv, Loshen Zachar, of strength, to Loshen Nekeva, of weakness, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already introduced in them this Pachat. The Me'am Lawyer says that in some of the nuschois of the Pasuk, there's a psik, there's a stop in the middle of the Pasuk, and it could be to be meramez, that the moment Yohanan heard the words Alu Eleinu, which was a sign to come up, he first stopped, he didn't go up right away, he first stopped to say Shvach V'idah Takodesh Baruch Hu, and only after that did he go up. Vayal Yohanan Al Yodav Al Ragvav, and Yohanan went up on his hands and on his feet, V'noisekelav Achrav, V'ayiplu Lufnei Yohanan, and they fell in front of Yohanan like a bunch of bowling pins. They fell. Yonis is going weiter. He's like, he's the bowling ball, and in front of him they fall. And after him was the Noise Kalim. He's doing the killing after him. Now, what's that? Vayal Yonis na Yodav al Raglav. Here is a machloikis. How to learn Pshat. The Radak brings down two Pshatim. Either the Pshat is, like we said, it was a very steep mountain to go up, see Pashit, and it was slippery as well. He had to use both his hands and feet. Or else it's like a way of talking, Al Yodav Araglav, meaning he went up the Chol Koichai. The Me'am Lawyers also mentions that all of this time was a tremendous nace. I mean, if there's an enemy standing on top of the mountain, you know, we're afraid of the Golan Heights. When Syria had the Golan Heights, you know, we're afraid of that. That's a major, major strong point that we have right now, because originally Syria was there. You know, we have to get up there, you know, it's Pachet Pachetim, they could just shoot down. So over here, Yonason and his men and his assistant, they have to climb up. Why is nothing happening the whole time that they're climbing up? The terrace is that the Pelishtim were in such a massive apachad, they were frozen in fear, they couldn't do anything. So that gufu was an ace that they allowed them to climb up in order to wage a war against them. Vatihi ha-makah ha-rishayna. Asher Hika Yonason ben Oisecheilov, the initial make that Yonason and his arms bearer that they hit, Ke Esrim Ish, about 20 men, Ke Bachatzim Man or Tzemet Soda, like half of a furrow of oxen plowing. When oxen plow a field, they plow it in rows. So half of the amount of one row, there were 20 people within that area, which is not a very big amount at all. On an average field, half of one row is not a big amount at all. Yet within that amount of area, 20 people were killed. Now, they were together. They could have helped each other out. And Yonason has to go through all of them. So how in the world did Yonason and one man kill 20 people? The teretz is, it was all because of the pachad that they had, the special pachad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed into them. And they were mamish close to each other. They could have helped each other out. You know, two people fighting against 20 in a small area. How in the world do you do that? Teretz is, it all happened in a Shemayim, the pachad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed into them. Vatihicha roda b'machne. And there was a great terror that took hold in the camp, basoda, in the field, uvechol ha'am, and amongst the entire nation. Hamatzev v'hamashkes. There was the garrison that stayed behind to defend. The Hamashkas, there was a raiding party that had an offensive group of people and a defensive group of people. And both of them, the Matzav and the Mashkas, were gripped by terror. Chordu, they were terrified, Gamhena. Vatirgaz ha'oretz, and the earth trembled. Vatihila cherdas elokim, and it was a terror that was inspired by Hashem. Amaloya says that the Pasuk is telling us over here that the terror, it spread from one to the other. Apparently, there were three groups of people. There was a camp, then there were more out in the field, and there was, amongst the entire nation that was behind them, the terror spread little by little. Now, the Medrash says, Amar Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel said, there are three places where we find that the Umas HaOlam gathered to make a melchama with the sons of Yaakov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow them to make a war. One of them is in this past week's parasha. It says in the Pasuk, Vayiso, they traveled, Vayichitas alehim alehorim, Hashem Srivayseyem, and the fear of Hashem was on the cities that surrounded the Bnei Yaakov, V'leirotvo achrei Bnei Yaakov. The Medrash tells us terrible things. Then the Mamish, thousands, tens, and hundreds of thousands of Canaanim wanted to attack the Bnei Yaakov after the Maisa of Shechem, They didn't end up attacking. That is one place. A second thing took place in the times of Yeshua, where they were frozen in their places. They didn't attack. And the third one is over here. Now, even though we find many places where Yidden waged wars against Goyim, and they were Menatzeach, but these three places are unique, that the Goyim did not even start the Melchama because of the Pachad that they had. Maybe the Kemaisa, which is a Limud Musar. Makal Pagramansky, Zechetzadik Levracha, one of the big Iluyim, big great Iluyim in pre-World War II Europe, who did a lot for French Jewry after the war. He lived for a very short time after the war, but he died very young and he was very ill. But in those couple of years that he lived after the war, he accomplished a tremendous amount. But he was in the Kovna ghetto. He made it out miraculously. In the Kovna ghetto, he saw two yeshiva bachrim at the edge of the ghetto near a fence, and they were tzabrachin and they were ba'atzvis. He walks over to them. These fellows are starving. They're worried about their families and what's going to be with them, what's their future. And he asks them, what's a Yid supposed to think about at this very moment? They didn't know what he wanted. You know, they're tzabrachin, they've given up hope. What are we supposed to think about? I don't know. How did Rav should tell us. He says, you see that guy over there with the machine gun on the other side of the fence? Yeah. Why isn't he shooting us right now? He wants to kill us. His superiors want to kill us. He probably win, you know, they praise him for doing it. So what exactly is stopping him from shooting us on the spot right now? You know what the answer is? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want him to do it right now. Finished. And as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want him to do it, he's not going to do it. Finished. Everything is totally in the Ratzon Hashem. So, you can be outnumbered. You can have hundreds and thousands of people against two people. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu places the fear, his fear into these people, then they don't stand a chance. And even two people could be menatzeach against many. Chatzka Levenstein, Zechetzadik, the Kodesh Levracha, Mashgiach of the Mir, and Ponovish, he said a hesped on the Briska Rav. So Teicha Hesped, he said the following. He says, B'teva, I am not a pachten. B'teva, I'm not afraid. It's Yodua that in Shanghai, when the Mir Yeshiva was in Shanghai, in the most difficult times, there was bombing around the Beis Medrash. He told the Bachrim, you sit and learn. He was not in the fall of the cloud. Mamish iron. He says, and yet when I used to come and visit the Briska Rav, the few times I came to visit him, I felt a pachad. He says, how could that be? He says, B'teva, I'm not a pachad. You know, he wasn't afraid of bombs, he wasn't afraid of those things. But by the Briska Rav, he felt a pachad. What's the pshat? He says, because by the Briska Rav, who was so kadosh, the Shechina is there. And where the Shechina is, memela, there's a feeling of pachad. And that's the pshat over here, Vatiyarish L'cherdas Elohim. The Shechina came down by itself to help Yohanesen and the Nar. The Mokumit is the presence of a Shechina. There's Memelu, there's a tremendous pachat. They didn't know themselves why they were afraid. You know, they were hitting each other, as we'll see. They were killing each other out. They were mamash to tumul. But it was Vatiyi L'cherdas Elohim. The Mokumit, the Shechina comes. Memelu, that's where there is a pachat. A good luck, everybody.
Thank you for my time
and last week's share.
Good
luck. Good luck. Good luck.